plug it in, turn it up and play it loud. Wallofsound.org.
All right, Swedish hardcore legends Raised Fist are returning to Australia later on this year in support of their latest album, From the North, and frontman and commander joins me right now, Alexander Hagman. How are you, buddy?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good. Now, we are counting down the days until you get down here. I mean, the last time we got to see you gracing our shores was part of Soundwave, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
And is Australia one of those places that you always look forward to coming down to because it's always going to be a lot more warmer compared to where you are?
Yeah, but the flight is pretty brutal. So, I mean, I just went to Greece a couple of days ago and that was a four-hour flight and it was warmer than it's going to be in Australia. But so there's warm places in Europe as well, pretty easily accessible, but Australia is kind of a very exotic place, and it's not a place that you go to frequently on vacation and things like that. So therefore, it's a bit of a special thing just to go there to tour. So we're looking forward to it as usual.
And do you get to spend a bit of time doing things that you want to do down here, or is it mainly work, tour, perform, tour, travel, and get to the next destination?
It's well, during the show days, it's pretty much just working because we have a pretty hectic live show, and usually it takes 99% out of you when you're done with that. 100% on stage, and then you can recoup 1% from the two to spend sleeping in and just taking it easy. So it's basically you start off with a massive jet lag and a 25-hour flight, and then you go on tour and you just break yourself every night. So during that time, it's you're not into just going out playing basketball or doing any other sport, surfing or whatever sport activity you could be doing. So but what we do is we tour, and then after that we stay for a while. Like at the Soundwave, we played five shows, and then after that we stayed for 10 days. We just flew our girlfriends over and had a great time. So that's how we're going to do it this time as well, if the occasion arises.
Oh, perfect. And that's the exact way you've got to do it too. Get all your business out of the way first, and then afterwards, when you're so mentally and physically drained from doing what you do on stage, you can go sit on the beach for 4 days straight.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it can be up to 10 days. So I could stay for 20 days as well. But, it's a really hard thing. People don't really understand how it is, even though it's only a couple of days. I mean, if we do 5 days here in Europe, it's one thing. If we fly over with the jet lag and everything, it's a totally different thing. It doesn't feel right. I remember touring our own headline tour there, and I remember it took a couple of days to just get into it, and after a couple of days, it felt like, okay, now I'm here. And then a couple of days later, it felt down again, so it was pretty... You really have to prepare.
Talking about your high-energy shows that you do, I mean, you've been doing this for the better part of 23 years, and every time you get on stage, it's the exact same amount of energy every single show. There's not one show that you see with you guys performing where it's cold and dulled down. But how do you physically do that to yourself each and every night that you get on stage?
Well, the thing is, you got to work against it when you're on stage. Otherwise, you can't play, you can't do anything. It just goes away. You can't sing. In the past, I was sort of overdoing it. It was like I just went totally crazy on stage, and I still do, but I also think about performing and singing the whole songs, and instead of just singing one word and then just going crazy on stage. Yeah. So you have to compile the whole thing into something explosive and still be able to play the song. So, I mean, you can do your thing and put forward a very energetic message without using muscle or cardio, because if you're into what you're doing and it's all about rhythm and the songs and the energy that you can like produce on stage, it doesn't necessarily have to do with athleticism or power or anything like that. I think it's just you can be pretty take it pretty easy, but also have a very, very strong nerve in the whole thing, and that therefore And in some timed occasions, the energy, it's like a big crescendo, and that's where you go crazy sometimes still. Yeah. So, I mean, I've seen pop songs or slow ballads where there's been like a lot of nerve and a lot of energy, very intense, but still no moving around. So yeah. I think you have to have both of these elements. Otherwise, it's just going to be a Donald Duck, you know. It doesn't work. You have to have the nerve, and you have to be with the music. It sounds like a fucking pretentious artist. It's not what I'm trying to get at. But you have to have an honest and vibe and nerve, and you do your thing. Otherwise, you're gonna look like you are Donald Duck, and it's gonna sound and it doesn't gonna feel right anyway. So I think that's also one of the reasons why we don't overplay with the band, and we haven't done so in 22 years. We've taken it easy because we decided pretty early this is gonna be honest. This is gonna be all fucking in or nothing. And we had a saying back in the past that was, "It's not about playing every chords right, it's about killing yourself every night." And that was about, like, don't use backtracks, don't use these fucking synthesizers, don't use that things to make it sound better, and because you can sit on the chair and you can play it exactly like you did in the studio. It's not about that when you go live it's a different thing. But if you mess it all up and just destroy it, then the sense and nerve goes away as well. So you need to play reasonably good, and you need to be honest when you do it. And when you get those two things together, that's when you have your eyes open and really follow the band on stage. So I think that is what we do. So the shows get intense, and it's more about moving strangely. I mean, I train Muay Thai and MMA and things like that, and even in that kind of environment, it's more calculated what you do, so you have total control. When you go on stage, it's just fucking crazy movement, and the head goes this way and sideways and things like that, so you have these kind of pains afterward that you can't really control. So yeah, you need to take care of yourself, otherwise. But we've heard each other also on stage many times, and it doesn't feel right after two shows. Your body sort of gets used to it after three or four, and then you get into it.
And look, in saying that, I mean, you've had such an incredible career, a couple of decades to get to that point where you can jump on stage and you know your limitations and things like that. And I guess on the back of that as well too, you're seeing all these other bands that are coming out in the genre, the hardcore genre, and all their spin-off sub-genres too, that look up to you. Some of them do make it and do go on to do big things with their careers, and others seem to fizzle out. How do you think the progression of the hardcore genre has been since you guys first started out all those years ago?
I haven't really followed the hardcore scene the last 10 years or so, right. 15 years. Oh my God, we played a long time when you can say things like that. No, but I mean, we started out really hardcore. That was like, either you played, and that's why we play fast music in the beginning, because we came out at a time when hardcore transformed from fast music, fast-paced music, to the slower things. There was bands like Refused coming up, Breach and other, and everyone was playing, the majority of the music was pretty slow with the, you know, breakdowns and things like that. And so that's where everything turned around from fast punk rock hardcore into this new thing that you can, today it's even, has gone even further away, like death metal today. So yeah, I've seen the progression and everything transform, but also Raised Fist has transformed. I mean, 1,000%. We've been doing our own thing, and every album has its own kind of style, and the songs amongst themselves, they vary a lot. So music-wise, we have never really followed what's happening at that time in the hardcore industry. We played hardcore when hardcore became metal. That was when Stronger Than Ever was out, and we just said we're gonna do this. And when we started playing, then we did a couple of things, and then we came out with Dedication, which was a very darker metal influenced but still hardcore as fuck. Since then we just took off with this unsinkable ship, and we just set sail and just went for it. And that was like, it was very important for us also to just do our own thing and not try to end up in any average kind of scene where every band sort of sounds the same and everything. I mean, no one will remember these bands.
over all the years you've been doing this, you guys have stayed true to yourself and stood up for what you believe in. And with that, you've also managed to gain recognition and a massive fan base who have followed you from day one all the way up to where you are now. And we put the word out there online for Australian fans who look up to you guys if they wanted to have an opportunity to ask you a question, because a lot of them wouldn't necessarily get that chance to. And we filtered it down. We tracked down two of quite possibly your biggest fans here in Australia. And I've just got a couple of their questions that I wanted to ask on their behalf, if that's cool with you.
Yes.
All right, so starting off, Serge actually hit us up and he said that he started his clothing label, which he called Dark Hero. It was inspired by you and your independence and your stay true to your beliefs attitude. On the back of that, he wanted to know who inspires you.
I think that it could have been as easy as just we wanted something cool to be able to hang out with where the other punk bands played, and in order to look better and cooler in front of girls. When you're a teenager, you don't look above the horizon. It's like you have your head, you have the focus down to the ground, and you try to stay solid. But the whole why we started the band was no deeper thought. It was just like we were doing days and we had to have something more to do. It was just like we had to do this. And on top of all, when the game came, you could go to the club and play, and there was all else. So you had to stay cool also. So that was just a youth teenage thing.
I really don't care what anyone says. That is the greatest reason for starting a fucking band, to pick up chicks. I've never heard of anything more better in my life. I seriously want to start my own band now for that exact reason. On top of Serge as well, Brody, who's been a big fan of yours for years, he wanted to know or get some clarification. Who or what is the HBC crew that you refer to in some of your songs?
HBC crew. This song goes out to the HBC crew. What it stands for is going to remain a secret. And but that was the old crew we had when we were kids, and yeah. So that was the original guys, not in the band, but we just used to hang around there. So we called ourselves HBC crew. So I think it was on Stronger Than Ever, and then I referenced again now in this album that came out last year. So the reason why I reference it is just because I want to send them a message, because they are spread out on the whole world, and I want them to remember that. Guys, fucking look at this. I still remember you after 22 years. This is, I'm never going to forget. And that's just the main mentality with this band, that it doesn't matter. This life is going to pass. So why fuck up the next half? Stay true to you, to your friends and your family, and we who were there for you, and you should also remember the ones who stabbed you in the back. All these guys, some of them died and passed away, but the guys that are still here, they mean a lot, even though I hardly know some of the guys any longer, because it's a long time. But yeah, that's how it is.
That is absolutely fucking fantastic. I like that. It's like you've encompassed everyone who was young and had their big crews, and what you've done is you've gone forward and you've created this amazing journey with the band Raised Fist and turned it into this massive following that not only appeals to you but appeals to a lot of people going through very similar things, which I just think is bloody beautiful.
Yeah, I know everyone has their story and they can relate to this, but some people just live and they live away. They jump on this little rubber boat and they just takes off. They don't set sail. They don't put an engine on it, but they just go drifting and you never return. You need to remember where you were and when who were there, and that's something I is very respectful and beautiful in the same way.
And that is a fantastic way to wrap up this amazing interview I've done with you. Thank you very much for the time, Alexander, from Raised Fist. The band are returning to Australia in December. All the details will be on this page. Mate, thank you, and keep killing it, and thank you for sharing all that insight.
Yeah, thank you very much for having the opportunity to talk to you, and see you in December. All of the music, none of the crap, wallofsound.org.